That's Brother Russ Martin. Russ, if you come forward. Brother, ask Brother Russ Martin to offer a prayer on Brother John's discourse.
Dear Heavenly Father, we once again come to Thee, and Father, we're so grateful for the many blessings and privileges and opportunities You've afforded us. We thank Thee especially for this convention Thou hast provided. We thank Thee for the thoughts presented to us so far. We ask Thy special blessing on Brother John now as he discourses to us. We pray that the thoughts he presents may not only be in accordance with Thy will, but may motivate each one of us to further our dedication and service of Thee. Father, we remember our brethren the world over, those who need thee in a special way. We ask that Thou would be with them, grant them the peace and strength that comes from Thee. And now we thank Thee so much for the gift of Your dear Son. We pray for Your kingdom to soon come here upon the earth, asking it always and in through the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Russ. Sister Pam on the piano, thank you. Brother John, as selected for his subject, the Shepherd's Song. The Shepherd's Song.
Good afternoon. The sun is shining. And we had a 3-day forecast of rain, rain, rain. So we're very thankful. Well, brethren, it's a real privilege to be here in Seattle again. If I remember back correctly, I was about 4 years old, attended my first Seattle convention. We stayed with a family called the Wagners. They had a whole bunch of kids, and it was nice. The convention was actually in downtown Seattle, and Brother Lawrence mentioned it was off Mercer Street. And then that was, 1948. 1962, I had consecrated, and I was immersed in Seattle at the Norway Center. And that has special memories, staying with the Canals and with the Kirkhams at that time. And then also in 1960, I was introduced to Sister Pam. So we met in Seattle as well. And then in 1974, we moved to Seattle. We had 3 acres out in Woodinville, a place called Hollywood Hills, up above the San Michele Winery. And we were members of the North Seattle class from 74 through 77. And we were really appreciated their welcoming. Those 3 years, very precious. And then since then, we've served numerous times, and we've just thoroughly enjoyed the fellowship and the lessons from the platform over the years. Just before we start with this beautiful psalm, in Psalm 23, a couple of things have happened here in the last couple of weeks with this thing we call the iPhone or a smartphone. And Sister Pam and I were sleeping Sunday morning. It was about 7 a.m. And all of a sudden, I get buzzing going off. And I'm saying, who can that be? Well, it was a text message. And all it said was, public witness. 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning. Well, of course, it was coming from the Bible Resources in Chicago, and it was 9 a.m. in Chicago, and Brother Peter Caravas was giving a public witness, and we thoroughly enjoyed that. It was on Jesus suffering and then dying. And we really appreciated that. That really got us going on Sunday morning. Yeah. And it was finished by 8 a.m., so we went on with the rest of the day. The other thing that's happened is with the technology, and, oh, we listened and watched it on our phone. Thank you. Anyway, we watched it on our phone. We'll try this here. I'm left-handed and left-eared. It's working much better already. But it was just amazing that we could watch that public witness in bed on a Sunday morning. The other thing that's happened is with all the modern technology coming out, Brother Alan Springer about 6-7 months ago mentioned to the brethren about this new product called Zoom. And I'd never heard anything about it, but all of a sudden I'm noticing all the hockey rinks, the NHL hockey rinks, there's this word Zoom along with all the other advertisements. So this started with a couple of people from Cisco, 2011. 2013, they got it running. And last week, they filed an IPO. And it's just taken the world by storm. They had revenue in, I think, the billions last year. And so anyway, with Brother Alan and Brother Jerry Leslie, using Zoom, it's a wonderful video conferencing tool to basically broadcast conventions and meetings, and it's very reasonable, and some people are going to make a lot of money here in the next few weeks with this IPO filing, and when it finally gets going, it's going to be on NASDAQ, I think. But just kind of interesting to see these latest innovations and how they're helping us as Bible students. The other thing we could have done today is I could have got a little cable and hooked to my iPhone, and we could have run the PowerPoint presentation off the iPhone. With some of the new technology as well. So it's really making it a lot better for us. And for Bible students, of course, if any of you haven't gone to Christian Resources and downloaded it as an app on your smartphone, on Android or Samsung or your iPhone, it's very helpful with thousands of discourses to listen to. And with the new Apple, what are they called? iBuds? Earbuds. They're very easy to listen to the pods. So it's just kind of neat to see the technology and how helpful the things we have. If you don't have an iPhone or a smartphone, you can also go to BibleResources.info, and that's where Bible Resources resides on the notebook and on the web, and that's very helpful for us as well. So it's just kind of nice to see these things come down the pipe technology-wise and how much easier it is for us to access the truth through the various media. Okay, our subject for this morning, or this afternoon, is on Psalms 23. And just like to bring the love as well of our kids, Brother Brett and Sister Tamara Blackwell from Chicago, and also from our class, the Langley class, and Brother Albert, Sister Norma Swab, who aren't able to be with us today. Psalms 23. Why would we look at this subject? Well, it's just kind of interesting that I'm seeing Psalms 23 now almost every morning through Bible resources. You go to morning devotions, you've got the vow, you got the resolve, you got 1 Corinthians 13, you've got Jehovah, and then at the very last one is the 23rd Psalm. And it's just nice to go over it. It calms us and makes the day go by much more peaceful. So the Shepherd's Psalm, as it's commonly called, is one of the best English literary works, not from what Bible students are saying, but from the scholars, the literary scholars of the world, that Psalms 23 is one of the most important and most valuable works that have ever been written as a piece of poetry and literary work. And the reason I know this is in grade 12 or senior in high school, I took an English literature class, and the two biblical literary works that were pointed out as two of the best ever was the Songs of Solomon and the 23rd Psalm. So it's been recognized as just one of the best works out there. It creates a spirit of calmness with us, security, and peace. It's read by those who are suffering and going through trial. It's read by those very popular at funeral services and memorials. Read by families who've lost loved ones. It's very reassuring. It's read by the guilty, the lonely, the depressed, the forsaken. And it's read by all for daily living, reassurance. And it's read at many devotional services for praise and encouragement. So, this psalm was written by David, and it came from the fullness of his heart. He was an experienced shepherd. Many scriptures to bear that out for 1 Samuel 16:11, 17:37, and Psalms 78. He'd already experienced the Lord's assistance by the time that this was written. And he taught about God's shepherding and the importance in Psalms 79:13 and 81. So there it is, six beautiful verses. And I'm sorry about the resolution. And there it goes again. Sorry about that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, leadeth me beside the still waters, restores my soul, leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me, in the presence of mine enemies, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It just gives us so much peace and comfort. So let's just quickly look at the qualities of a good shepherd. And if you go to the 10th chapter of John, and Brother Alan Ross has given a very nice discourse on the Good Shepherd. We heard it in Austin, Texas in November. But we see that some of the qualities of a Good Shepherd are they exercise care, they have concern for the flock, they protect the flock from wild animals, and in those days it was wolves and lions. It's very important to see that the shepherd leads the sheep, doesn't drive the sheep. There are sheepdogs out there that help herding them up and rounding them up. But they meet the sheep's every need. The shepherd gives food, water, rest, safety, and direction. And that's basically what Psalms 23 is telling them. Gives them the necessities of life. And oh, he knows the sheep by name. And that's very helpful. He calls them by name and they come. And we see that our good shepherd, Jesus, he laid down his life for his sheep. And we're privileged to be part of that class, the little flock. Some of the sheep's traits and characteristics. In Isaiah 53:6, which talks about Jesus and all the things that he bore in giving his life as a ransom for the world and for us, says, all we like sheep have gone astray. And it goes on to show how important Jesus' sacrifice was. The danger of getting lost. Sheep tend to get lost pretty easily, being attacked. They've known to drown. They've known to plunge off cliffs when they're stampeded. And they can't survive long without a shepherd. They're easily frightened. They're skittish. But they do respond when called by name. And that's a good thing. And no weapons for defense. They don't have claws. They don't have sharp hooves. And they don't have powerful jaws. So in looking at Psalm 23, the six verses that we've just read, we see verse 1 in particular. It feeds us. And 2, the Lord Shepherd leads us in verses 2 and 3, protects us in verses 4 and 5, and in 6, the Lord Shepherd blesses us. So there we have a beautiful picture of Jesus with the lamb and taking care of the lamb. And it's just so nice that we've got these promises that our Lord will take care of us. He's a good shepherd. Numerous scriptures, Ezekiel 34, Matthew 26, Zechariah 13, John 10, 11, which we've already talked about, Hebrews 13, and 1 Peter 2, 25. He feeds us, he guides us, he protects us, he nurtures us, he shelters us, he comforts us, keeps us safe, and seeks us and finds us. So we must personally allow the Lord to be our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that's why it says, the Lord is my shepherd. So just a beautiful promise that we have. And then moving on, Lord is my shepherd, I will not want. So the Lord will provide for all our needs. We will not want or lack any good thing. Philippians, the fourth chapter, is very good, especially the 19th verse. And Matthew 6, 32, 33. Spiritual needs, Ephesians 1 and 3. And the Lord will provide for our needs, not our selfish wants. but let what I will be what God wills, not what we want to will. So let us be content with what the Lord provides, and that's indicated to us in Philippians 4:11, 1 Timothy 6:6-8, Hebrews 13:5. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. What a beautiful picture of this sheep. And he gives us peace and contentment and calmness. He provides a place to lie down and rest, Matthew 11, 28-30, and Hebrews 4:11. The Lord provides green pastures or tender grass for nourishment. Now, it's interesting in the Middle East, you know, we think of a lush green pasture, but a lot of times in the Middle East, it could be desert-like conditions as well. And so there's a nice lesson there too. He leads me beside still waters. So here's a couple of sheep, and they're just drinking from the container. And the Lord takes his people to still waters that are quiet, at rest, calm, and peaceful. Philippians 4:7, Colossians 3:15. He takes his people to still waters that offer refreshment for the soul. And what's interesting about that, if the water's stagnant, the sheep aren't going to drink it. And if the water's rushing, the sheep aren't going to drink that either. It has to be still waters, as the scripture indicates here in Psalms 23. He restores my soul. The Lord restores his people to an upright position after they have been cast down. Psalm 19:7. That's another wonderful promise given to us. We're cast down sometimes due to ease, affluence. Things are too easy for us. We might retire. And then the first little while, things are kind of easy. But then after a while, things seem to get a lot more difficult. And we have scriptures like the sheep are fallen into soft grass, Amos 3:12, 6:1. But then we also have the scriptures about the sheep falling into mud and mire. And we don't want to do that, Matthew 18:12-14. And also due to affluence. And also, we don't want to get too fat. Because we've got so much wool. So we really have to be careful so that the Lord will work with us and help us through these times. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So the Lord shows his people the correct and right way. So we've just mentioned a little bit about sheep, basically creatures who cannot survive long without a shepherd, upon whose care they are totally dependent. And we, like sheep, are totally dependent upon the Lord to protect and care for us. It's interesting, we mentioned about how they drown and they fall off cliffs if they aren't led by the shepherd properly. And that's happened many times. And shepherds in biblical times faced incredible dangers in caring for their sheep, putting their own lives at risk by battling wild animals such as wolves and lions, and we have scriptures to indicate that, who threatened the flock. And David was just such a shepherd, as in 1 Samuel 17:34-35. So to be good shepherds, they had to be willing to lay down their lives for the sheep. And Jesus declared that he is our shepherd, and he demonstrated it by giving his life for us. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Matthew 20:28. Through his willing sacrifice, the Lord made salvation possible for all who come to him in faith, as indicated in John 3:16, that we're all familiar with. In proclaiming he is a good shepherd, and Jesus speaks of laying down his life for the sheep. In order to understand what Jesus intended to convey with the sheep and the shepherd imagery, we must understand the Middle Eastern shepherd of biblical times. His job was a dirty, dangerous one. Many times all the shepherd had to fight off was a lion, these wolves, and all he had was a staff with a crook. And we've got some pictures to show that. He willingly put his life on the line for his flock. At night, he would put the flock in a makeshift pen that had only one way in and one way out. The shepherd would open the door to the pen, call the sheep by name, and they would come in and settle safely for the night. Now going on to this scripture, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The Lord shows his people the correct and right way. And the paths of righteousness are found in God's word. Romans 1:17, Hebrews 5:13, and 2 Timothy 3:16. And we must seek these paths. Matthew 5:6, the Beatitudes, and also 6:33, and we must preach these paths of righteousness. That word righteousness is the key word. And then we must try to live in these paths as well. Here's a beautiful picture of the shepherd trying to rescue the sheep that's fallen down the cliff. So the Lord shows his people the correct and right way. And we must use these paths for protection. Ephesians 6:14, stand your ground. And we have that beautiful scripture, put on the breastplate of righteousness. We must not leave these paths like others do. And the flock is under our Lord's care. And we always have to try to remember that. The Lord leads this way to bring honor to his own high and holy name, on account of his own character, Ezekiel 36. The Lord only is to be glorified in Isaiah 42:6-8 and Ephesians 1:6. This is one very interesting picture. And this was the closest I could find to being walking through the valley of shadow of death. Because if the sheep falls, it certainly is the valley of not just the shadow of death, but death for sure. But sometimes we feel like that, don't we? We sort of feel like we pushed into a corner and there's no way out. And the Lord, if we trust in Him, He'll walk us through that. So the Lord is with us through highs, and in this case, it's very high. But if the lamb falls, it's very low. The valley of the shadow of death. And that's given to us in Psalm 107:13-14, Psalm 138:7, Matthew 4:16, and Luke 1:79. So the Lord's followers should fear no evil, because we know the Lord is with us. He is our good shepherd. Psalms 27:1, 118:6, and 2 Timothy 1:7. And here again is that picture enlarged of the shepherd going after the sheep that's fallen down the cliff. And notice the interest between the rod and the staff. The rod was sort of used to beat off the animals if anything was trying to attack them, while the crook was basically there so they could yank the sheep back up off the cliff. And that just kind of interesting. And here's a very interesting parable in Luke 15:3-7 that really gives us hope. If for some reason we or our friends or our brethren have sort of fallen out of the way, this promise that's given to us in this parable. Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you have 100 sheep and lose one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." So I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one who repents than in over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. It almost sounds unfair, doesn't it? But it just shows the Lord's care for us if for some reason we stray and need to be brought back into the fold. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod was a short club used for protection. The staff was a long stick with a crook on the end used for support and control. And that's given to us in John 10:11-12. So our Lord stands ready to protect, to support, to control, and to offer comfort to us in time of need. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Interesting table. Looks like Thanksgiving. So just as a shepherd prepares a place to eat for his sheep, so the Lord prepares spiritual food for his followers. John 6:53-56, and John 10:9-10. And the Lord's followers are sustained in the midst of enemies and difficult times. So let's look at this expression, "Thou preparest a table before me." We have a table of spiritual food that the Lord has given us. It's bountiful, it's beautiful, and it was by the hands of a wise and faithful servant with this meat in due season. And we had that scripture that Brother Robert referred to yesterday on the chart, Write down the vision, make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth. And then continue on that scripture. It says, though it tarry, it will not tarry. And that's what sometimes brethren tend to forget. It's going longer than they think it should be. So all of a sudden they're coming up with their own chronology rather than using what we see in Volume 2, the time is at hand, and Volume 3, thy kingdom come. The divine plan was very systematic as given on the chart, and it was hidden to an extent. You just can't pick up the Bible and say this is a divine plan, because not many have understood it until the end of this age, as the scriptures indicate in Matthew 24. And the commission was to make it plain upon a good, clean table. The menu has not changed, even though some want a change of menu. They've got tired of the old, and they want to replace it with the new. Some of them leave and move on. Some of them sort of try to bring followers and sheep after them. And we're told, we're given scriptures in the New Testament about grievous wolves that would come in. And so other scriptures about deceiving the very elect. And so we really have to be on guard to watch that people aren't making their own chronology and basically trying to change what we've been given by the Lord through that wise and faithful servant. Tell me the old, old story. Moving on, you've anointed my head with oil, and just as the shepherd anoints the head of the sheep for soothing comfort, so the Lord anoints his followers. And the Lord's word is like an anointing oil. 1 John 2, 20, 27 to 28. This is a beautiful picture of Jesus with the lamb and the sheep out in the field. My cup runs over, speaks of complete provision and satisfaction. You know, and with a cup overflowing, it's not half empty and it's not half full. It's overflowing. And that's a good thing. So the Lord provides an abundance of all that we need. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So the good shepherd provides all that is good and merciful to his sheep. And the Lord is good and merciful to us through Jesus Christ. Psalms 107, 1, 118, 129, 136, 1. And of course, back to the good shepherd chapter in John 10. The Lord provides all the days of my life, not just at the beginning, not just halfway through, but through our entire walk. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So dwelling with the Lord is the goal of all that has been said in the 23rd Psalm. Faithful Christians should desire to dwell in the house of the Lord now as we try to make our calling and election sure in our daily walk, and if faithful, in our walk with our Lord in heaven. And we have many beautiful scriptures to indicate that in John 10, 27 to 28, John 14, 1 to 3, Philippians 1, 23, 2 Timothy 4, 8, 18, Hebrews 11, 10 to 16, and Revelation 3 to 12, 7, 15, and 21, 3. This is a beautiful picture just showing the sheep following the shepherd. And that's what we must do. But there are some today are like sheep without a shepherd, and they need guidance in Matthew 9, 36. And so let the Lord lead us today. So we've had a nice summary, and a lot of this material is taken from reprint 3112, 3216, 3269, sorry. And then Brother Seclemian has a discourse in that book with all his discourses, and it's just a beautiful dissertation of, and it's called The Shepherd Psalm. And it's just nice to read through. We picked a couple of excerpts out of that. So the Lord Shepherd feeds us, verse 1. In summary, he leads us, 2 to 3, protects us in 4 to 5, and blesses us in verse 6. The Lord is my shepherd. And we have this beautiful scripture in Revelation 7:17, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. We just have these wonderful promises to help us do this. So the Bible and this 23rd Psalm emphasizes the excessive love, blessing, and power that God desires to pour out on those who love him, his sheep, which is us. And that's given Malachi 3:10, Lamentations 3:22, and Psalms 108:4. Jesus reflected God's generosity when he said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Paul continues that theme in Ephesians 3:20 and describes God as the one who is to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. So in Romans 8:37, it promises that we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. This message echoed in each passage is that of God's excessive grace and provision for every area of our lives. He is not stingy, nor are his blessings confined to temporal things. In Christ, we have overflowing joy, overflowing love, and overflowing peace. We can bear everlasting fruit for God's kingdom, and we can ever overcome impossible challenges when the Holy Spirit fills our hearts until our cup runneth over. The Bible records many mighty things done when people were filled by the Holy Spirit, and we're thankful that we have that. So we're urged to be filled with the Spirit as well. However, a glass cannot be filled with milk if it is already filled with mud. We cannot be filled with the Spirit when we are already filled with sin, pride, or self-will. Before we can be filled and overflowing, our cup overflowing, we must be willing to empty ourselves of everything that hinders the Lord's Spirit working in our lives. It's only when our hearts are filled with God that we can accomplish all he desires to do in and through us. His grace knows no limits for those whose hearts are wholly his. He desires to fill us with his Spirit until our cup runneth over, and may the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother John. Appropriate end to a wonderful day of learning and school of Christ and fellowship with each one another. Quite a song of praise to our Heavenly Father's goodness delivered to us. We appreciate that, Brother John. Thank you. We'll close with hymn number 87. Hymn number 87. He leadeth me.
Our loving Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee now to thank Thee for Thy precious word, and especially the Book of Psalms and this beautiful Psalms 23. We're thankful for the peace, the comfort, the contentment that it gives us as we go through our daily lives, that it will help us to continue on in this narrow way. And we're extremely thankful, dear Father, for this convention, for the lessons that we've learned. We thank thee for the fellowship, for the coming together of like kindred minds. We now ask a blessing, too, upon the temporal portion before us, that thou will bless it for our strength and nourishment. And we ask a blessing on our continued fellowship this evening and tomorrow, and going over thy precious truth. We pray that thou be with all thy dear ones the world over, especially those going through difficult times, that thou will give them faith, strength, and trust. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.